Good Tuesday afternoon. Welcome in to Sports 180. Thank you for being with us today. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward, as we are at Frazier's Carpet One, and we'll be for the next 3 hours. Hey, Bad Take, if you can help us out here for a second.
We're sounding a little funny.
Yeah, sound kind of funny. Hey, Joel, how do we sound to you? Okay, good. So that's just on our end, so don't worry about it out there. We have a lot to get to here at Frazier's Carpet One for the next 3 hours. Love this place. Love the people here. Love the service that they can offer you with a huge sale. They have a 70-year history to look back at.
Unbelievable.
They are celebrating. And by doing so, they're looking at everything that's in stock and putting it on sale. Everything that's in stock on sale for you. Plus, no money down, free financing for 18 months, where we are today at Frazier's Carpet One.
Yeah, so what's the secret sauce? How do you stay in business for 70 years? You have the best products at the best prices, and you install them perfectly. You do what you say you're going to do, and that's what they bring to you time and time again at Frazier's Carpet One. So if it's in stock, it's on sale, like Josh was saying, and no money down, free financing for those 18 months. And they have huge in-stock sale. We're going to post some pictures later on social media, but if you're talking about in-stock carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl tile and plank, ceramics, and more, plus they've got all kinds of closeout deals and exciting special buys, especially from Dalton. They've got in-stock glue-down luxury vinyl plank starting as low as 69 cents a square foot, in-stock 5-inch wide hand-scraped hickory hardwood starting as low as $1.99 a square foot, luxury vinyl plank with pad starting as low as $1.59 a square foot. So, I mean, you name it, carpet, hardwood, just so many beautiful options in this store.
Frazier's Carpet One. A lot of decisions in life can be challenging. Finding flooring's not. Come to Frazier's. They'll take care of you and take advantage of the savings, but also, very importantly, they make it so easy because they'll come to you to get the process started. Call Frazier's at 546-4850. Schedule a free in-home estimate. Call Frazier's today, 546-4850. We have a lot to get to today with it being Tennessee Day, Heather, at SEC Football Media Days.
Yeah, shouts to the Alabama media member that asked Josh Heupel about if anybody has mentioned to him the third Saturday in October and what that rivalry means to the fan base. I think everybody's looking to beat Alabama, bozo. Like, come on now. Everybody has that game circled. Of course,
man, somebody has been affected by the last 15 years.
No kidding. And I'm channeling all the Mike Griffith vibes from yesterday. He was super fired up. I'm super fired up today, but in a positive way. I thought Josh Heupel represented the program incredibly on the podium. He said all the right things. I think as far as, you know, winning media days, it's getting two thumbs up. It's going to be great reviews. And then also played his cards close to the vest. He answered the questions that were asked, and he played those cards close. Liked his comments on Joe Milton and keeping competition heavy in the quarterback room. So I can't wait to discuss it with you and hear what your thoughts were, because I think it was very positive for Tennessee fans.
That'll be our main focus today. Tennessee there and catching up on other news items at SEC Football Media Days. We will have live coverage this afternoon during Sports Talk, and you'll hear from Josh Heupel today. You'll hear from Tennessee players Alante Taylor and Valus Jones, who are there. Joe Rexrode from The Athletic will join us coming up at 12:30. Look forward to talking to him as we begin today's show at Frazier's, taking a look around the sports world. So, Heather, SEC Media Days, and we'll see what comes out of what Tennessee has to say today, talking about the head coach and the players who are there. As expected, the focus with Tennessee's football team, I think, starts with the quarterback competition, which will be ongoing at the start and in, I'd say, deep into fall camp, fall practice. I'll be curious how close it goes to the opening game. We may be finding out officially who Tennessee's starter is for the Bowling Green game when Tennessee goes out and plays Bowling Green. We'll see, but it'll definitely be open when practice begins here in just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and that's what he said. He goes, we're going to be innovative. We want to have fun out there, and you want to keep the competition strong in the quarterback room, because that's going to make your team better. Everything bleeds out of that room was basically what he was alluding to. So I think you're right. I would imagine that we are not going to know who the starter is going to be until the team, maybe you find out that day, but until the team takes the field, see who is calling the plays. And then I think it's also going to be a work in progress, you know, throughout the first couple of games of the season. So I want to see what happens when fall camp opens up, but I'm still very much under the impression that they might even give these guys some live action. And that might only be two. It might be a two-horse race at that point in time. But see who's going to handle playing under the lights and making the plays on Saturdays, and that could take a couple of weeks.
Georgia is there today. Georgia there this morning along with Tennessee. We found out that Eric Gilbert is eligible. That was the expectation, the transfer from LSU, but he is eligible. So there's a player you were expected to see on the field for Tennessee's homecoming, the talented tight end turned wide receiver for the Bulldogs.
I still just cannot get over the fact that the Georgia game is Tennessee's homecoming, but we will stand on that soapbox later on. Good for Eric Gilbert. And yes, moving forward, you just think, especially with all the rules that are being adopted, all the changes, you get one transfer. You know, here's your opportunity to go make an impact immediately. Hope you make the right decision, because the next time you want to transfer, you will be sitting out a year. I just think it's a no-brainer decision.
Josh Heupel said that Tennessee is not among the schools at the threshold they're looking for with the vaccine, but hoping to be there soon, and believes that they can reach it soon. But Tennessee is below the 80% threshold for vaccinated players. Georgia is among those six that were mentioned yesterday by Greg Sankey. Mm-hmm. They're over 85%.
85, yeah.
So Georgia, Vanderbilt, I imagine, is among the six as well, because they are requiring the vaccine for students. So the football players are among the students, so their rate will likely be 100%, I guess, this upcoming fall. We'll see about the others, but that will continue to be a topic there at SEC Media Days. That'll be our focus today. There will be talk today. There has been over the last 20 hours or so with the story that came out yesterday, with the NCAA giving lawyers and Mark Emmert and officials a whole lot of money, legal fees that are in the $68 million range, to then go have the Supreme Court rule 9-0 against what the NCAA had been fighting for. I guess they were fighting for it, as change was inevitable.
$500,000 to lobbyists during a year in which they accomplished nothing. What were those lobbyists doing? Hey, thanks for the dinner. Thanks for the bottle of wine. Thanks for the cash. Yeah, we'll see you on the flip side, because they absolutely got slammed, not only by the Supreme Court opinion, but also then by Brett Kavanaugh, who just offered up some thoughts like, hey, this is what I'm sitting here thinking. So that was just absolutely incredible waste of money. That's not unfamiliar territory in these parts. So we're very familiar with wasted money and throwing money at lawyers. So good on the lawyers for getting rich, because they accomplished nothing but lining their bank accounts. And I also like the fact that during a pandemic, and who knows, maybe these guys did take some pay cuts, but over 10 officials working for the NCAA made over $500,000 in salary. That's I would just love to know what they were working on last year when half the year had no sports to actually govern.
Aaron Rodgers had a chance to become the highest paid player in the NFL earlier this offseason. According to Adam Schefter, he declined. It was a contract offer that would have had him in a Packers uniform for the next 5 years, at least by the contract. He declined. We still don't know exactly what is going to happen this fall between Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. This is really disappointing news out of the NFL today. Heather, second-year running back Cam Akers, a player that was thought to be a rising star at the position. Well, he was, but he has suffered a torn Achilles in workouts, so he will miss this upcoming season, is the expectation. Hate to see that for a team that should be really exciting to watch, and he would have played a big role in that. Cam Akers, the former running back from Florida State.
Pro Football Focus had him listed on one of their top six players to just be a breakout fantasy star. So that's also going to have fantasy implications for a lot of people. I saw Alan Bell note that the Rams NFC West championship hopes were cut by 7.4%, according to Sportsline, with that injury update.
That still seems a little high because of the position he plays, but it does say something about what they thought of Cam Akers there with the Rams. And, of course, they have Matthew Stafford coming in at quarterback. That should play still a big role in what they're able to do. Are you excited about Peyton and Eli coming to Monday Night Football MegaCast this fall?
The MegaCast. I mean, ESPN has tried every which way to get Peyton Manning on a Monday Night Football broadcast, and he dreams up this ideal scenario to just basically sit and watch the game with celebrity friends and his brother. Like, did they get the pizza and beer thrown in too? I mean, this is, I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be good. I am not looking, though, really for entertainment outside of the game when I'm watching a game. So I still imagine that I'm going to be watching mostly the regular broadcast, but maybe flipping over every once in a while to the MegaCast. But I would like to see Peyton Manning be the guy that does Monday Night Football for the next 10 or 15 years. I think that would just be amazing, but it doesn't seem like he's interested.
Yeah, maybe this is to get a taste. I don't know. And it's 10 games over the next 3 years, so this is not going to be an every week mm-hmm. deal for Peyton. So for him, perfect world. I'd say that he doesn't want to commit because he's still planning to, you know, coach quarterbacks for the Vols or something here soon. Probably part of the plan. That's our look around the sports world.
We'll talk about recruiting too.
Tennessee down in Hoover, Alabama. We'll talk about that today and what is being said at day two of SEC Football Media Days. As Heather, we continue here at Frazier's Carpet One.
They're celebrating their 70-year history, and they want to celebrate with you. So if it's in stock at Frazier's Carpet One, guess what? It's on sale, and they have everything you need from carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, tile and plank, ceramics, and more. Check out some amazing special buys. Give them a call, too, because you can do the free in-home shopping. 546-4850 for Frazier's.
We will come back and we will continue to discuss everything that's being said about Tennessee today. We're getting closer, just a couple of weeks to go until Tennessee will report and then begin fall practice. It's getting closer. We're talking about all of it here at Frazier's Carpet One. Call them up, 546-4850. This is 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. Fun Tuesday afternoon. Tennessee's Day at SEC Football Media Days in Hoover. Check out our coverage online, 99.1thesportsanimal.com. I agree with you. I think Josh Heupel carried himself well at the press conference. I didn't expect anything else. I thought that he would be fine up there. There was nothing over the top that stood out either. I also didn't expect him to go out there and have a bunch of things lined up to say that are going to go viral and catch a bunch of attention on the internet. But he talked about Tennessee. He talked about VFLs and getting them connected to the program. He talked about the need to recruit and do it successfully and play well offensively and play fast. And that being the case on both sides of the football, being aggressive on defense, creating negative plays, things that we've talked about for the last few months. But the quarterback competition is going to determine a lot of what happens this season. How good is quarterback play? That's obviously going to drive the offense, which is going to play, I think it's going to play the role in what happens with Tennessee, because defensively, realistically, the Vols are probably going to have some real challenges this year.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I think it's going to be a learning process for Tim Banks, who hasn't called defensive plays in a long time. So, I mean, I think not only from a personnel standpoint that's going to be making the plays defensively, but also the ones that are going to be calling them. I mean, it's just kind of a new role for him. So my expectations are pretty low going in, especially with the pieces that you have coming back and some of the talent that you lost. But when you look at the offensive side of the ball, and we've seen it, you know, this is just the way that college football is going. It's the trend. You've got to be able to score points. And I think that's why people have put so many eggs in Josh Heupel's basket about, okay, well, hey, he's been innovative and he's been able to show at Missouri and some other places that against certain levels of competition, he can score a lot of points. And I still think, and you know, you hate to say it, but you got to throw kind of the big three just out. Like, I'm just taking those off the table for this year. And we can revisit that at some other point in time. But
with the schedule, you look at Ole Miss on down.
Yeah. The middle ground, the Ole Misses, the Missouris, the South Carolinas, Kentuckys. You know, there's definitely winnable games in there. And if the offense can perform at the level that we think it can, you know, or at least the level that you're being optimistic can happen with the skill position players and what you have in the quarterback room and teamed up with Josh Heupel, I think people are excited about that. But one thing I think we have talked so little about, and it's going to directly impact quarterback play, is what kind of offensive line are you going to have this year? You know, I mean, Tennessee has been towards the bottom half of the pack in offensive line efficiency over the past several years under Jeremy Pruitt. Despite being good on paper, they were bad in reality, great on paper, bad in reality. And it just makes you wonder, can they get more production out of these guys? Can Darnell Wright take a step? Can K'Ron Calvert take a step? You know, where's Cade Mays at? Is he a little overrated, or is he just going to now benefit from having better coaching? You know, I mean, there's a lot of questions there that are going to directly impact either Joe Milton, Harrison Bailey, or Hendon Hooker having some success with this offense. And I honestly don't know how to answer those questions.
What happens with offensive line play and what happens with quarterback play is you start with quarterback, but the offensive line is 1B if quarterback is 1A. And what's going to happen? Even though a lot of those guys are They're unproven, and we haven't seen what they've been able to do at running back and receiver. I think that's easier to get that figured out, and they have enough talent and speed to be okay there, but not if quarterback play is inconsistent and not if offensive line play is not good enough, because as Josh Heupel said, that's what makes the difference in the SEC is being good up front. We'll talk to Joe Rexroad about his thoughts with Tennessee SEC Football Media Days this week and Greg Sankey's message to open up the week. That's coming up next as Sports 180 continues at Frazier's Carpet One. If you are even thinking about new flooring, now is the time to call Frazier's at 546-4850, as they have been here for 70 years, a 70-year history. They're looking back and saying, let's celebrate. Everything in stock is going to be on sale for you. Call up Frazier. Schedule an in-home estimate. It's free to do so. 546-4850. Joe Rexroad next. Right now, let's hit a midday sports minute on the Sports Animal. Welcome back into Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. We are here at Frazier's Carpet One today on Western Avenue as SEC Football Media Day's coverage continues this afternoon. Jimmy Hines will be live there. We have coverage online as well. You can find it at 991thesportsanimal.com. It is Tennessee Day, along with three other schools, Georgia there this morning down in Hoover, Alabama. As I mentioned, we're at Frazier's Carpet One. You can call them up at 546-4850, as we have called Joe Rexroad from theathletic.com, and he's on the radio in Nashville each morning on 102.5 The Game. Joe, we appreciate the time. What would you say is maybe the biggest storyline surrounding Tennessee, or what interests you with the Vols just a couple of weeks away from now opening up fall practice?
Well, I think certainly the quarterback situation is going to be the main football storyline. But, I mean, I'm glad that today, although it wasn't asked at the podium of Josh Heupel, I'm glad before the podium session he was asked about the vaccination rate, and he said, he made it sound like Tennessee is very close to that 80% threshold. Because, I mean, look, Greg Sankey came out yesterday and said it, 6 of 14 are there. He wants all of them to get there. We know Vanderbilt's going to be 100% because Vanderbilt students, that's a mandate this fall to attend Vanderbilt. But, forfeits are going to come into play. And so, if you're to me, that's where you start. I mean, if you're a Tennessee football fan, if you're part of Tennessee football, you want to be on the positive side of vaccinations and be able to, I think you do have a competitive advantage, including more assurance that you'll be able to compete each week or not take losses because you didn't get enough players vaccinated.
Yeah, I think you're right, Joe. Do you think coaches are sitting on the phone calling parents, maybe parents that are on the fence about vaccinations and trying to set their mind at ease? Just are they basically actively recruiting people to get vaccinated?
That's a great question. I don't know. I mean, that's really interesting. I think on the NFL level, we've seen a little bit more. It's been a little bit more sort of discussed, it's different for them, of course, because you have the NFLPA, the union that has kind of gotten involved in that. And I know, like, from Mike Vrabel's perspective with the Titans, he's kind of said, I'm not in the position of, like, advocating either way. It just provides the information. But he knows well, too, that the NFL teams that are there, and I think, and I want to say the latest we heard was 9 teams, I think, have reached 85%. They have an advantage. They get to be sitting in the rooms with each other and do normal meetings and everything, and then, again, not have to worry about a player missing a key game or key couple games. But that's a great question, Heather. I'd love to know. I'm sure it's different at different places. Like Nick Saban probably has someone do it for him, has the Coke bottle call everybody. But seriously, though, I mean, I would imagine there probably would be a lot of discussions like that for families that are uncertain and just trying to provide as much information. Does it get to the point of, like, please have Johnny get vaccinated? I don't know. But clearly, Greg Sankey yesterday, to me, like Bob Bowlesby a week ago, that felt like a plea more than anything.
We're talking to Joe Rexroad, theathletic.com. I totally agree. What have been your thoughts on the big picture conversation with the NCAA? What's happened recently and what the future is for the organization, as now we have Greg Sankey being pretty clear in his frustration with the NCAA?
Yeah, it's interesting because even Mark Emmert gets his favorite 3 reporters and tells them that he gets it. Like, okay, we gotta change things. And basically stop doing so much stuff, you know. But believe me, he did not offer to take a pay cut. But you know, that you got to deregulate and sort of rethink things. And I think, you know, it does make sense for some things at least, that like the Power Five schools would be doing things independent of some of the smaller schools, and it's always been lumped together. But you know, Sankey sort of talked about that, about how, like, which I loved his comments, you know, 450 page manual and basically throw that in the trash. But he also still rejects the idea of like some sort of, you know, Power Five breakaway or something like that. I mean, the NCAA is going to exist. It's a member organization, but it seems like everyone has kind of settled in on this deregulate, don't try to do so much stuff. And, you know, Sankey's calling for like a federal outcome for name, image, likeness. I mean, to me, the answer is everybody breathing right now? Everybody okay walking around? Is everybody being hurt, or is it okay to just let this stuff happen and move on and worry about more important stuff? Of course, someone's going to have to get their hands in there and say, no, let's put this structure here, this guideline here. But man, I'm hoping that this time period right now kind of shows everybody, you know, we can move forward like this and still play the games and be happy.
Joe, have you sat back at all and taken a total grasp of everything that is coming to college sports, how it is changing so dramatically with expansion on the horizon, name, image, and likeness here, a possible breakaway? I mean, there's just a lot of things going on, and I wonder if there's anything that is going to be detrimental to our viewing experience from all of these changes coming at once.
Yeah, that's another good question. You know, I do. I mean, for the most part, I think all these things are positive / or necessary.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, again, yeah, you know, I mean, like the image likeness to me, like I feel as good about college athletics as I have in a while because of that. But, yeah, you know, I think it's a fair question. Like, what are the unintended consequences? I've always rejected stuff like, oh, the third string guard's going to be jealous of the quarterback. You know, I mean, whatever. I mean, there's already a hierarchy of all kinds of things, including earning power in the sport in these teams. I mean, everyone in a corporation doesn't make the same amount of money either, right? I reject that. And I reject the whole, like, oh, boosters are going to get involved and pay players because, you know, what the heck has been going on. But I do wonder about, to me, like, name, image, likeness has to be it. Like, this is it. You know, if people want to take the next step and make this straight up, you know, labor management, unionize, all that stuff, that's where I think you really are in danger of just spiking the entire model. You know, I mean, it's still college. It's still college students playing sports. It's just that they're allowed to make money on the side, which they always should have been able to do. But I will say that, you know, just the entire model coming under scrutiny. Are there lawsuits that come that chip away at things? I mean, the retroactive lawsuit is interesting to me. The 1980s player who says, you owe me $1.3 million. I've calculated what I made for you based on my play in the 80s. And, you know, I mean, do things like that hold water? You know, I mean, certainly if that's the case, then we could have a real problem with the whole thing.
Joe Rexroad is with us, theathletic.com. And Joe, I mentioned it's Tennessee's day at SEC Football Media Days. One of four, though. You have Georgia, you have Kentucky, and Ole Miss. Their head coach, Lane Kiffin, I think sometimes gets some attention. What do you think is the expectation? What do you expect out of Lane and Ole Miss? Matt Corral's there at quarterback as now they're entering year two. And I think largely expectations will go up for that program.
Well, is he going to get Arch? We were talking about that today on the show. Is Lane going to get Arch?
That's the
Manning
biggest story maybe in the next year, yeah, in the future college football, wouldn't you say? Arch Manning's decision?
Yep.
It's one of them for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, it kind of adds up that he would follow in Grandpa's footsteps and Dad's footsteps, by the way. And, then you're talking about massive expectations for Ole Miss and Lane. But, I mean, to me, I think he kind of – I mean, I think last year was a pleasant surprise. I mean, they were so fun offensively. Just the fact that they hung with Alabama in a game and basically scored with them all night until they finally couldn't quite do that. But Yeah, I mean, I think the expectations are going to go up for sure. And, you know, it's interesting, too, when you think about Lane and you think about Leach. I mean, we were robbed of – I mean, I get excited about very little about SEC Media Days, very little. I mean, you know, like Josh Heupel just talked, it was fine. I didn't learn anything. You know, it's a lot of Heupel is very good at not telling you very many specifics, but doing it in a friendly way so you don't feel bad about it, you know. But with Leach and Kiffin, we might actually have some fireworks here. So I'm hopeful. My expectations start there. Like, say some outrageous stuff at these press conferences to make that event a little bit more fun.
I know. I was a little disappointed that Leach and Kiffin weren't on the same day. I was like, oh, we can't hear from, but they can't ride the elevator together or the
you
escalator.
Want Leach pulling at Lane's face mask?
Yes. Yeah, that was hilarious last year. So Mississippi State on schedule for tomorrow.
Yep.
I agree. They should do it together, you know, like Abbott and Costello.
Hey, Joe, what is going on at The Athletic now or coming up for readers to go check out theathletic.com?
Okay, I got to think about that. I know I've been working on stuff. Yeah, actually, I do have some stuff coming up on a couple former Vols basketball players with the draft coming up. For draft night, because of course they're about to go to new teams. But Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer, big stuff coming up for them. Working on a Titans player who is in the top 100 of our all-time NFL players. Anybody who hasn't checked that out, we got the top 100, and it's awesome. There's some really awesome features, including, you know, some players who have passed away long ago, and some really interesting stuff that I've learned about a lot of guys. So that's a couple things, and of course, you know, all kinds of Tennessee and Vanderbilt stuff coming up with football getting closer.
Just a little off-season time remaining, then it will be football time. Go check out theathletic.com. Follow Joe on Twitter, at Joe Rexrode. Hey, Joe, thank you for the time, as always. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, guys, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Joe joins us, as all guests do, on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
There's, you know, I agree with what Joe said. We didn't learn a lot from when Josh Heupel was on the podium today, but also, you know, did a nice job. It's as solid as a performance as you could ask for a first-timer, I think, at SEC Media Days.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that comes and goes. Very, very little bad can happen at Media Days. Very little is going to change the game of what's said unless you break some news, which no coach is really going to at Media Days.
Or you embarrass yourself.
Yeah, I guess, but yeah. When has that happened with a head coach?
Yeah, it really hasn't. Yeah. I mean, I think...
Like at Media Days, coaches embarrass themselves all the time. I embarrass myself every day. But at Media Days, I don't think that's really happened.
Yeah, it's where everybody is.
I'm sure there's an occasion, but I'm not.
And he did. I saw where Vince asked him the first question when they went to the panel or went to the media. And he was like, oh, I want to bet with my SID that transfer portal was going to be asked about. This is the first question. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, we should have done that. Why didn't we do our own little pool at the station? What the first question? I guess we could have rigged it because Vince asked the question. Yeah, so that wouldn't have worked out. We'll come back. We are here for another 2+ hours at Frazier's Carpet One. This is the place to go. You need flooring. You need to call Frazier's. Great people here that will take care of you. Can tell you from personal experience shopping at Frazier's. The Ward House has been taken care of multiple times by calling up Frazier's 546-4850 here on Western Avenue. We'll be here until 3 o'clock. On 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. We will be with you until 3 o'clock. Sports Talk will take over at 3. You know, there's some Boom Boom Sauce at the On Tap restaurant sports bar, which is very popular at Media Days. I bring that up not as a random, super random plug, but the Boom Boom Room. It's hosted by Ron Slay. There's some NIL opportunities. Ron's down there. It's a big week for Ron, so he's a part of Media Days coverage with our sister station in Nashville, 104.5 The Zone, along with Brent Doherty and Don Davenport, but also the Volunteers. They're getting some practice work in yesterday. I saw at Pratt Pavilion for the first game on Friday. That's Friday night, 7:30, something like that. But they're playing the men of Mackey from Purdue.
Yep.
But the guys are in town. So Wayne Chisholm and Chris Lofton and Duke Cruz and Skylar McBee in the photo that I saw of them working out yesterday.
Yep.
So Jaron Maimon is helping coach and maybe leading some of those practices with Ron just hanging out, talking to people down there in Birmingham and hanging out at On Tap.
I know. How about it? So boom, boom sauce for the boom, boom room. I like this. I like where that is going. And, yeah, you're talking about a busy week for our boy, Ron Slay. I am loving all the volunteers' social media posts that are coming out. They did a bunch of IG stories yesterday, and it's fun. Man, yeah. I want them to go in and win. Obviously, this is single elimination, correct?
So yeah, you got to win to advance.
Yeah, so it's win and keep playing, lose and go home. And so you don't want to be one and done in this tournament. And I'm looking forward to it on Friday.
Has Ron told you with his winnings, if they win the tournament, what percentage he's given to us, his friends here in Knoxville?
I am not quite sure. I think we were still kind of negotiating.
Sure.
But I mean, you know.
Starting at zero and see where we can go from there.
Yeah, he's going to throw some love.
We'll talk more about that later this week. A lot of the focus today and the next couple days will be football, but Friday night, the Tennessee alumni team, and it's all former Tennessee players that will be playing in the game on Friday. It will be a lot of fun, and every time I watch and I see the Elam ending, I really can't come up with a reason why we do anything else besides the Elam ending.
Now, you don't want to go to the Elam ending for everything, correct?
Well, it's not even realistic, so broaching the subject would be a waste of time, but I can't come up with a reason to play to the end of a clock versus the Elam ending.
Yeah.
I don't see one advantage other than that's just what you already do, and change is hard.
Yeah, change is very hard, and it's because we've always done it this way. And I like it. You know, every game, they always punt. Every game ends on a made basket. So some of those can be to win by one or whatever. I mean, it could be a tie game, and you're going to end on a made basket, and bam, that's going to happen. So, I think there's definitely intrigue to it. Maybe the clock seems arbitrary, and we'll see what happens moving forward. I just, it would be very hard for me to get used to watching that ending all the time. But 5-10 years down the road, if they ever instituted it, you would totally forget, and it would be not a thing anymore. But I do wonder if you've thrown this out there, if the NIT will ever go to it in like a true capacity, just to kind of set its. It needs to be set apart from the NCAA tournament. You're not the NCAA tournament. You're a consolation tournament. And I think if you make it cool or different, that just helps, get more viewers and expand your brand.
Yeah. So I'll keep banging the drum, and people will keep telling me to stop it. We're not doing it. All right. Let's hit the face-off. All righty, Joel, what do you have for us today?
What is your biggest non-quarterback question about Tennessee's 2021 football team?
Heather, if I'm stealing yours, I apologize, but I get to go first, so that's the benefit. Offensive line, can they be good enough? Can they be good enough up front? Because that will affect quarterback play, but also if you're really going to compete in the SEC, you just have to be good along the line of scrimmage. So it really applies to both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think that is a great one. I'll go to the defensive side of the ball. Now, my expectations are still pretty low, but I'm going to say linebacker core. Like, what does the personnel actually look like? I mean, Jeremy Banks is one of your most experienced players out there. Is he still one of the best players on this roster? Like, I am just so intrigued by who's going to play linebacker, what those sets will look like, and what the personnel is going to look like.
How does the loss of Rams running back Cam Akers affect LA's chance of winning the NFC?
Well, I'll say this. It affects it dramatically for the sports line, or at least by their metrics, because I saw Alan Bell point out that their chances of winning the NFC West, just their division, was cut down by 7.4% with the news of the ruptured Achilles. I still think they're going to be one of the better teams. They still have their quarterback intact. They're still going to have plenty of playmakers. So I'm thinking the Rams making the playoffs looks great. Maybe they dip a little bit from actually winning the NFC.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a big hit, not necessarily because of just Cam Akers himself, but with what Sean McVay typically wants to do offensively, which is run the football, even if I think Matthew Stafford is there, and that division is just so tough. So that number 7% drop seemed too high, but then I looked at everything around them, and maybe it makes sense.
Where should Ole Miss be picked to finish in the SEC West?
I will go fourth. That Tennessee game will play a big role in where Ole Miss finishes, probably. Vanderbilt should definitely be a win for Ole Miss, I would say, this year, looking at the Eastern Division opponents. But, Auburn gets Georgia. That's obviously really difficult. And I think LSU will bounce back and be better and be good at quarterback and probably more prepared if they deal with an injury this year. So I will go fourth behind Alabama, A&M, and LSU.
Yeah, I think it would be fourth at the highest. They do have to play Auburn on the road, so I'm actually going to have them dropping that game, and I'll put Auburn ahead of them. So I'll put Ole Miss coming in the fifth spot.
Happy National Pennsylvania Day. Will Kevin Frazier's Steelers contend for the Super Bowl this season?
All right. It's Philly's Day. It's the whole state. Enjoy Pennsylvania Day. Will Kevin Frazier's Steelers contend for the Super Bowl this season? No. Yes, you have some incredible defensive players, including T.J. Watt, who just looks like he's, you know, going to be unstoppable this year on the defensive side of the ball. You don't have what it takes at quarterback, offensive line, or running back to get it done.
Man, counting out Big Ben.
Yeah.
I will say that they will, and then they just won't win. So what I mean by that is that late in the season, we'll still be talking about the Steelers. They're going to matter. They're just not going to be the top contender, and they're not going to win the AFC.
Third best team in their division, right?
Maybe. And if that truly is the case, then late in the season, we're probably not going to talk about them contending.
Who will win Game 6 tonight in the NBA Finals?
Heather, you make my pick for me. So I'm too big of a hedger. I pick the Suns in 7. They obviously have to win to get to a Game 7
yep.
to then win the title. Should I stick with Suns and just go down with the ship, or should I take Milwaukee?
You take Milwaukee. I'm going to take Phoenix, that's for sure. I think they can get one more. I don't know if they can win the series now.
Oh.
I mean, that is very much in question for me. I think Giannis has leveled up. The way they are playing, the way Drew Holiday was playing the other day, so impressive. But I think Chris Paul has one great game left in him, and they can win tonight.
I would love to see that. I would love to get a Game 7. I always pull for those. But I think that I'm wrong with my original prediction, and I'll take Milwaukee to win Game 6. So now I can't lose.
Well, you can in the face-off. Heather gets the win.
That was a Drew Holiday to Giannis alley-oop right there for Joel.
You had it. You had the win until you said that. I'm not kidding.
That's so funny.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. You play to the buzzer here on the face-off. I'll tell you that much.
Are you thinking the Steelers are going to contend for the Super Bowl, Joel?
No.
Okay.
Speaking of Drew Holiday, did you see the Twitter beef that happened regarding like Giannis and Drew and all that?
No.
No, I have not seen
Somebody was talking about how it's so great for Giannis because he's about to win the NBA Finals. Meanwhile, he stuck it out in Milwaukee. Meanwhile, Anthony Davis ran crying to LeBron in L.A. so he could get a ring. Somebody responded saying, "You don't watch basketball. Anthony Davis never had anybody like Drew Holiday like Giannis does in Milwaukee." And somebody responded, "Anthony Davis literally had Drew Holiday in New Orleans." Literally had Drew Holiday on his team.
You know, there are times where I think the internet is the most incredible invention of all, and that it is the greatest thing that's happened to Earth because of everything that goes around it.
Yeah.
And then there are other times where I think we should turn off the internet.
Yeah. I was about to say, you have those latter thoughts on the days you don't wake up and scroll Twitter first thing in the morning.
Yeah. You know, those who say wake up and find some time for mindfulness instead of your phone. Those are the people who are right. That is the face-off. Heather was right more than me today. The face-off is presented by Marble City Family Chiropractic.
Marble City Family Chiropractic with a way to get rid of all those aches and pains that are plaguing you in a natural way through chiropractic care. Call them today and set up your one-on-one consultation. 766-2081 is their phone number. It's time for you to start living the life you were designed to live thanks to Marble City Chiropractic.
2 hours of Sports 180 to go right here at Frazier's Carpet One. We're having a great time. We will cover Tennessee and everything going on at SEC Football Media Days when we come back on 99.1, the Sports Animal.